Well, we were there in Egypt about 5 years ago. My wife and I, we took pictures there, and those are the pictures from Egypt. But we've been in Jordan for almost 2 years. Okay.
We're going to sing some more for you, preacher.
Okay, yes, sir. So we're there for about 2 years, learned Arabic, and we just praise the Lord for all the progress we made. Kate is very talented in Arabic, and I've made a lot of progress myself, and the kids too, and it's been such a blessing to see how the Lord has helped us with that. We lived in a Muslim neighborhood where we're immersed in a language. Very few people spoke English or very little English, and so we had many opportunities to share the gospel using our Arabic, sometimes a mixture of English and Arabic, Arablish or something. It was such a blessing to get to know our neighbors. We shared meals with them, shared lots of tea, went to a couple funerals, went to one Christian funeral, went to a Muslim funeral, and to see the contrast there. Some of you have been to like a Christian funeral, and then you've been to a non-believer's funeral, and you see the vast difference, same thing, despair, no hope there in the Muslim funeral. And then we went to some weddings. We really learned about their culture and learned better how to share the gospel with these people. When we first went to Jordan, we weren't sure how we would how we'd get our visas renewed and things. We thought we might have to leave the country every 6 months or so, but the Lord just worked it out to where we get a one-year residence visa and just able to renew that, didn't have to leave the country. So we praise the Lord. It was a big, great blessing. So thank you for your prayers about that. I want to thank you so much for your prayers. Words cannot express how much your prayers mean. When we first got to Jordan, we didn't know where the hospitals were, didn't know where a single hospital was. You know, we didn't have a rental car. A friend helped us get set up there, but he had the rental car that day for some reason, for a couple days. But he got us moved into this furnished apartment, but we didn't know our way around town, and we forgot to remind our daughter not to drink the tap water. We think that's what made her sick. She got so dehydrated. She was out with some neighbors and got really hot, and they gave her a glass of water to drink, and we think that's what it was. And she just got so dehydrated, we thought we might lose her. It was that bad. She had passed. We thought she was going to lose consciousness, and we didn't even have internet access. I did have a phone. I had a cell phone. Called a friend of ours and asked him to call my parents on Skype and start praying. We have a prayer chain in our church, and start sending the prayer chain. You know, calling people to start praying for our family. And wow, what a turnaround! She just turned around pretty quickly. I don't know how quickly, but she turned around really quickly. And my mom had already actually been up praying. She was already praying. She was already in the middle of the night. It must have been like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. She was already up praying. So words cannot express how much your prayers mean to us. We're just so blessed to share the gospel with people. Kate, she had an opportunity. I won't go into it. If you want to ask her, she had about a two-hour conversation with one lady. And so if you want to ask her about that, I won't try to share her testimony. I had many opportunities, especially with tax cab drivers. Well, that's how we got around town, using taxis. And one example of a tax cab driver, met him. And usually when I talk about Jesus, how he's born from a virgin, most Muslims are very quick to respond, yes, they agree with that. But this one, he disagreed. He disagreed so fervently that he called one of his friends, not sure if he was the imam or the sheikh at his local mosque, and called him up to confirm if I was lying or telling him the truth. And you could tell the conversation was going along that, yes, this Samaritan man is telling you the truth. And he was shocked by that, and he didn't want to talk anymore about Jesus after that. I guess I embarrassed him, but I think there's been some other people that they didn't want to look ignorant. They didn't want to show that they were ignorant about Jesus. They know so very little about Jesus. Another example where I got to share with another man, I took my children down to a studio to get some pictures made to renew their passports. And the owner of the studio, we were talking with him. He knew some English, and so we're using a little bit of Arabic and English. And he was really impressed that our kids could speak Arabic. And we waited there for the photos to be developed. And once the photos were done, I tried to pay. And a lot of times, Arabs will refuse your money. If you get to you spend some time talking with them for a little while, they'll refuse the money. Usually the first time, the second time, they take the money. Amen? They're trying to be kind, but the second time, they usually take the money. And this man, he refused at least two or three, maybe four times. And then I said, okay, well, you're invited to our home. And we exchanged phone numbers. And he did actually call. He called me up. He came over for a meal. We talked a little bit about the Lord, not much. He had an appointment, and then he had to go. And then he called me up a couple days later, invited us to his home, a whole family, all four of us. We got in his car. He's driving us to his home, and just a few minutes down the road, we're talking about the Lord. Well, how the conversation went is his heritage is from Capernaum. And so I was talking about how Jesus had walked on the Sea of Galilee, that Jesus was in Capernaum. Well, it's present-day Tiberias. They call it Tiberias now. But we were talking about the Lord, and he said, yeah, but he's not the Son of God. Now, you got to just think with me. What they've been told for centuries is what they hear when they hear Son of God, they think that God and Mary had relations to have Jesus. And I said, no, that is not what we believe. So let's just put that behind us. That's ridiculous. We don't believe that. I don't know of any Christians that believe that. But he was still kind of contentious about talking about the Trinity. So we got to his home, we got out of the car, and I thought, well, he's not going to talk about this anymore, because it was kind of debating. I don't really want to debate with people. I want to give them the truth. I want to talk about Jesus, but I don't want to just argue and yell at each other. I don't see how that's going to be fruitful anyway. So we go into his home, we sit down, I thought he's going to want to change the subject. I actually tried to change the subject, and he wanted to talk about Jesus. He asked more questions about Jesus. It was so unusual, because many Muslims, they want to talk about Muhammad or Islam when you try to talk about Jesus. But this man, he just kept on asking more and more questions about Jesus. So it was just such a blessing to see that, and please pray for him. Psalms 100. In verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You can be seated. It's pretty simple outline here tonight. It's three A's. First is approach, then it's going to be approach, apprehend, then appreciate, if you're taking notes or mental notes. So we look here at approach first. Notice in verse 2 it says, come before his presence with singing. Now, what does the presence of God mean to us? We look at the presence of God three ways. We see his omnipresence. He's here with us tonight, thank God. He can also be in Beijing, China, the very same second. He can be all places at the same time, his omnipresence. And we see his indwelling presence. As a child of God, he lives within us. We have his indwelling presence. But that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about his face. Come before his face. Now, and it's telling us we need to purposely seek his face. Now, can a Christian go away from the presence of God? We can't go, and I heard some yeses and noes, but we have the indwelling presence. No, we can't go away from his indwelling presence, but we can go away from his face. You know, in Jonah, we read three times in Jonah that he fled from the presence of God. That's somewhat fleeing from his face. Adam and Eve, they fled from the presence of God. We can flee from his face, but we'll always have his indwelling presence. Now, you know the story of Moses. He was in the presence of God, And as he came out of the presence of God, he came out shining and glowing. Jacob, he was in the presence of God. He saw God face to face, and he came out limping. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in the presence of God, and they came out with an amazing story. Apostle Paul was also, he sought the face of God. He came out, marks in his body. He says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. They all came out marked. They all see, people could see a difference in their life after they've been in the presence of God. You know the story of Mary and Martha. Jesus was in Mary and Martha's home. And Mary, she's sitting at the feet of Jesus looking at his face. She's seeking his face. But Martha, she's busy about serving. Now notice that they're both in the same home, but Martha's not really seeking the Lord's face there. You know, in the Sanhedrin, we know the story of how Peter, he was afar off. He could see Jesus afar off. But there was another disciple, and we can speculate who that was. I could give you my opinion, it doesn't really matter. There was another disciple that could see Jesus' face more clearly. He was there, much closer to Jesus. Which crowd do we want to be in? I want to be in that crowd where we're close, seeking his face. What prevents us from seeking God's face? Well, sometimes we get too busy with things. We forget to seek his face. Sometimes we get distracted with things. Sometimes we have sin in our life and we don't want to face the Lord. Reminds me of a child. When a child gets in trouble and the parent knows that they're in trouble and the parent's starting to question that child about what they did wrong, and the child starts looking down like, who, me? You know, they don't want to look him in the face. And we get that way sometimes. Sometimes we just want a mediocre spiritual life. You know, we're just satisfied. We get complacent. And we don't want to seek his face. Maybe we just don't know that we need to be seeking his face. But I want to encourage you and challenge you tonight that we need to seek his face. So many people, they get out of church, they get out of God's will because they quit seeking his face. Don't quit seeking his face. So we saw approach, and now we want to look at apprehend. Now, when you think of the word apprehend, maybe you thought like I did. The first thing that came to mind when I think of apprehend, I think about the cops. They apprehended a suspect. They apprehended the suspect of the murderer that murdered some people, or the thief. They apprehended him. But, you know, as I looked it up in the dictionary, it means to get a hold of, either physically or mentally. Now, what we're talking about tonight, to apprehend them mentally, yes, kind of an understanding of what our brains can comprehend, but it's more than just mentally, it's more of a spiritual experience. It's more than we can comprehend, is getting to know him, apprehending him. In verse 3, look with me, we see one of the ways we can apprehend him is through his person. Verse 3 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. We can know him. I'm glad I can know him. Amen. You've heard that song, Best of All, He Knows Me? Yeah, we can get to know him personally. In Philippians 3:10, Paul said that I may know him. In verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I'm going to give you an illustration here. Anna, would you come up, please? Let's see. Can you still hear me? Yeah. Is that loud enough? Okay. Anna's going to represent me when I was a lost sinner. Okay? Now, I was going my own way. I wasn't seeking his face. I was lost, undone. And then one day, God sent a preacher to preach the gospel to me. I heard the gospel, realized I was a lost sinner. I needed to repent. I repented. I turned to God. And he apprehended me.
Amen.
It's all of grace.
Amen.
Not that I apprehended him. He apprehended me.
Amen.
And then after he apprehended me, I could begin to apprehend him and look him in the face.
Amen.
Amen. That's the picture. I'm glad I'm in Christ tonight.
Amen.
He apprehended me.
Right.
What a thought. And then we get to apprehend Him. Now, we'll never fully apprehend God to where we can, like, just put Him in a box and we have Him all figured out. No, that's not what I'm talking about. We can begin to apprehend Him, though. Get a hold of the hem of His garment. Start to behold, you know, hold on to His feet and worship Him. We need to apprehend Him. In Genesis, we read about Jacob who deceived his father. He stole the birthright from his older brother Esau. And then he stole the blessing from Esau. And then he fled for his life because he knew Esau wanted to kill him. He fled to another country, went to Laban, his uncle. And there he served Laban for 20 years. After 20 years, we read in Genesis 32, we won't turn there, but we read that he felt the Lord wanted him to return to his homeland, and he goes back there and he knows he's getting ready to face Esau. And he's devising another scheme to save his own neck. And he starts sending his servants forward to give gifts, and he sent his children, his wives, his two wives before him. And then in Genesis 32, verse 24, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for a prince. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted," that means he limped, "upon his thigh." Just think about it. Jacob's out there, he's wrestling the Son of God. He's wrestling him, and then his thigh is out of joint. He's in pain, but he's still holding on to God. He's still apprehending God. There's people here tonight. Surely there's somebody here in pain tonight. I'm going through a little bit of pain just seeing my dad go through pain. I had some stomach pain, but there's some people going through some serious pain tonight. I met a man at the Wilds, and he's been ministering there for a while. And his wife had just been diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer. You know him, Brother Herbster. And we didn't know this until later on in the week. I think the next day after he sung this song, he got up in front of all the campers and he starts singing this praise about how good God has been in his life. And you know, he's getting choked up about how good God has been. And he's praising Him through the pain. Wow. So how can we apprehend God? First, we can apprehend Him through His person. And we can also apprehend Him through His power. Look with me again in verse 3. "Is He that hath made us and not we ourselves." We see His power to create. He has power to create. Amen. Philippians 3:10, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." We need to know His power of raising our dead spirit to life. If you've never been saved, if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you haven't experienced that power of Him raising your dead spirit to life. Once you do that tonight, if you never trusted Christ as your Savior, you can experience the power of Him raising your dead spirit to life. I'm glad He did that for me. The greatest miracle of my life, when He raised my dead spirit to life. It's so easy to be saved. It's just repent and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus said. He said, repent and believe the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. So we see His power. We also see He wants to show His power to us when we're going through suffering. We can know His power through suffering. And we also see his power in conforming us. Just think about where he's brought you from. Think about where you were when you were a lost sinner. Christians tonight, think about how much he's done in your life, how much he's made you into a better man or a better person. It's all of his grace, isn't it? It's amazing what he's done in our life. And what we know we have more room for improvement, but he's done so much. We need to praise him and just see how his power has worked in our life. And then we see his purpose in verse 3. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We can try to apprehend God by experiencing his purpose in our lives. His purpose in our lives is part of him being the good shepherd in our life. You know, if I want to get to know my children better, I need to find out what they like. If my son likes fishing, which he does, he wants to do some fishing while we're back, I need to spend time with him. And we need to make some time to do that, don't we? So, if we want to get to know God better, we need to know what he likes. He likes souls. Lost and saved souls. That's what he's interested in. Are we interested in souls? We need to get interested in souls. He wants to provide for us and protect us like a shepherd. Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, that's giveth. That's continually giving. It's a present continuous where he's continually giving his life. Now, we know that he died on the cross one time. He gave his life one time on Calvary. That's it. He will never die again. But he giveth his life. He pours his life into us. Isn't that amazing? That he pours his life into us. He wants to gather lost sheep into his flock and his fold. In John 10:16, he said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You know, we get to experience a deeper relationship with the Lord when we get to be part of his great commission. When we get really serious about the great commission, we get to know more about him. How many Sunday school teachers we have here this evening? Where am I today? How many parents we have? Parents, grandparents, master club leaders. Everybody has influence in somebody's life. You may not know it. You may not realize it, but you have some influence in somebody's life. And you can use that influence for the Great Commission. For God's glory, you can use that influence. You know, kids will ask you some tough questions in the Sunday school class, or kids will ask grandparents some tough questions, or parents tough questions about from the Bible or about God, and, you know, why does this happen? Why does that happen? And sometimes you don't always have the answer ready to go, do you? Sometimes you have to do a little research, do some praying, get to know God better, and then you can come back to that person and let them know that this is how it works. This, you know, I do know the Lord. I'm glad we can know him. So the third point is appreciate. And in the verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know, thankfulness should just be a natural result after we approach him and he apprehends us and we begin to apprehend him. It should just come natural that we were thankful to him. Amen. And we praise him and we want to bless his name. I want to bless his name. You want to bless his name? His name is Jesus, and we need to try to mention that lovely name every chance we get. Let's all stand. We're going to give a time of invitation. If you'll bow your heads, please. If you've never repented and believed the gospel, he wants to apprehend you tonight. He wants to embrace you as a father. Won't you allow him to do that tonight? Please don't put it off. It could be too late if you put it off. You're not promised another second to live. Christians tonight, when was the last time we sought His face? When was the last time we were really purposely seeking His face? I know myself, I need to seek His face as much as I can. Let's try to do that more frequently.